Recorded Books presents a sci-fi audio production, Labyrinth by Kat Richardson. This unabridged recording is narrated by Mia Barron. This book is copyrighted 2010 by Kathleen Richardson. This recording is copyrighted 2010 by Recorded Books. Sci-fi audio is an imprint dedicated exclusively to science fiction and fantasy titles on CD, from classics to bestsellers, cult hits to critically acclaimed award winners. And now, Labyrinth.
Prologue. Maybe he should have been more worried about the ghost detector going off. At the time, it had seemed pretty exciting to have it work at all. But afterward, it seemed as if the squawking of the alarm had presaged something much worse than a pack of ghosts. After Harper had left town, things went to hell. First, there had been the little problem of vampires. It wasn't the vampires qua vampires. It was the change in the way they acted and how many were visible. There was always the problem of vampires in the underground and hanging around the desperate and lonely, looking for a snack. But suddenly there were more and different vampires around Pioneer Square and downtown Seattle. And they weren't subtle. They killed people and they killed one another, nothing new. But now they were doing it in public, or as public as vampires got, anyway. Dead and mutilated bodies in Belltown alleys, or awash in drifts of ash on unlit corners of First Avenue or Mercer Street, and still more after a lightning-fast gunfight a block from the Moore Theater, about which witnesses could recall nothing but the speed and terror of it. The cops unhappily wrote it down as gang activity, with some innocent bystanders caught in the middle and survivors too frightened to talk. All right, the vampire cliques were gangs of a sort, but since most of their victims vanished into dust and ash, the real explanation was unlikely to come up in any SPD briefing. The police were still looking into it, but Quentin was certain they weren't going to arrest anyone soon. While Harper had been in Los Angeles trying to figure out why a dead boyfriend had called her and what he had meant by, "things aren't what you think," a vampire had killed another vampire under the streets of Pioneer Square and had used one of Quentin's tools to do it, or at least something that looked a lot like one of Quentin's vampire stunners. This he hadn't appreciated at all. But he also didn't understand it, and that really bugged him. Quentin liked logic. It had stood him in good stead all his life. Where things didn't add up, he'd learned to ignore what most people thought of as common sense and look for patterns that, when joined with confirmed facts, would establish a reasonable working hypothesis. After all, Fleming had discovered penicillin by ignoring the common wisdom of throwing out the contaminated petri dish and taking a look at the mold instead. Quentin had discovered magic. Of course, he didn't get a Nobel Prize for it. Quentin imagined at first that someone was trying to set him up for trouble with Edward, Seattle's bloodsucker in chief, but nothing had come of that. Edward, never his biggest fan, seemed to know he hadn't done it, and he didn't make a move Quentin could see in response to it. Not against Quentin, not against anyone. That was definitely outside standard operating procedure for El Supremo Sanquinisto. And then he had nearly begged Harper to look into a problem in London for him. Another out-of-character move for Edward. Begging? Come on. Edward's desperation had pinged Quentin's danger signals. He hadn't wanted Harper to accept the job, but it wasn't his decision, and he hadn't tried to push her. Something was afoot, but whether the London job was a legit problem or just a dodge to get her out of Seattle, neither of them knew, and data was too sketchy for an informed guess. It bugged the hell out of them both. In the end, despite being busy with the investigation of her past and why she was a Greywalker, Harper had agreed to do the London job. She hadn't given all her reasons, but she'd admitted that running Edward's errand would give her a chance to look into another, possibly related, problem of her own. Quinton hadn't been entirely
Sample complete. Ready to continue?